You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has opened its doors for the final day of a trading week, and what a week it has been. With me is Nick Kunzer from Sandon Private Wealth to have a look at the action this morning. It has been a hell of a week. We'll talk about it later on the 5 o'clock shadow, but it really has been. There's been a raft of results. There have been tranches of trading statements. There's been a budget. There's been rising interest rates in the capital markets anyway. It's been a hell of a week.
Oh, morning, Lindsay. Yeah, it's been a monster week, actually. I think we'll look back on this week as one of those weeks where certain things sort of changed. It was definitely a shifting sort of stance to how we look at risk this week. As you said, loads of earnings. South Africa particularly. We had the budget out of SA. I mean, it seems like weeks ago we had the budget out. We had lots of the miners reporting sort of blockbuster earnings. And of course, we've had the, as you mentioned, the fixed income market, this fascination with this rising yield now, which all of a sudden this is starting to take center stage. I mean, front page, I think the Financial Times recorded, referred to it as a bond rout. You know, at 1.5%, I don't know how much of a rout it actually is. But nevertheless, I think people are starting to take attention that inflation is coming and adjust yourselves accordingly.
Yes, indeed. But on the other hand, I was speaking to an economist in a previous interview early this morning, and he said it's just indicative of boom time, so don't be worried about it.
Exactly.
Some people will say, well, of course, there's going to be a reallocation of assets because the yield starts to make stocks look slightly less attractive, even if it's just a couple of percent here and there. So therefore, the stock market might be slightly muted. But on the other hand, it's good news.
It is good news. It's exactly what Chief Investment Officer this morning was one. There was actually quite a robust debate also this morning about it, and sort of my input in it is that you know, rising yields are not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
You know, it's, as you said, I reiterate exactly what you said this morning, that you know, it's a sign of growth, and quite frankly, it's a sign of returning to some sense of normality. I mean, I saw an indication on the Financial Times website this morning, talking about the, you know, the bond rout, and they said Germany's 10-year bond bounced 7 basis points to minus 0.23%. I mean, that's not normal. You know, we're still minus 0.23%. There's no economic manual out there to talk about negative bond yields. So we're still living in very strange times. And I think some sense of that, for me, the balancing act is at what point does it rise too quickly? Because that's not good. You know, steady rising yields are a problem. The moment I think it's rising a little bit too fast than we'd like, and then, of course, the central banks need to get ahead of it. And then I think there is going to be a bit of a reallocation of how you shift your risk around for capital. Because, you know, certainly we've seen in tech shares, I was looking at Tesla this morning, down under $700. That stock is down 22% since its high a couple of weeks ago. Because tech shares and the high flyers, tech shares have been the center story and the news through the whole way through this pandemic with the stay-at-home stocks like Zoom, etc. And tech stocks are susceptible to rising yields because their value rests heavily on future earnings. And future earnings get discounted more negatively when yields go up. So you're going to see now reallocating capital from those high-flying techs, maybe a bit into commodities. We've been a great beneficiary of South Africa. You saw, you know, Anglo American new high again yesterday. So there's definitely like a very, but the bottom line is, Lindsay, it's quite fun. It is fun. There's lots of exciting stuff happening, and it could possibly be, as you pointed out, maybe a bit of a boom year. We've just got to adjust ourselves accordingly with our portfolios.
Well, the rand's adjusting itself at the moment. Let's have a look at the spot prices, because the rand has suddenly gone from 14.50 to nearly 15. It's 14.93 against the US dollar. British pound against the rand.
Can I just point out early hours of this morning, it was 15.08 a couple of hours ago. Yeah. So the volatility in the rand continuing.
Okay. So anyway, at the moment, 14.93. British pound against the rand is 20.81. Euro rand is 18.11. Euro dollar, 121.33. So we can't really blame the US dollar, the dollar index, on the rand weakness. This is independent weakness. And in fact, in 24 hours, the rand has fallen over 3%. The gold price, goodness me, it's looking horrible. $28 down in 24 hours. It's $1,760 an ounce, down 1.6%. The platinum price is down 21, which isn't good. And obviously that impacts on the rand. So that's one of the reasons the rand is weaker, because those particular important commodities are not doing so well. Platinum is 1220. Where's palladium, please, Nick?
Yeah, Palladium also having a tough session, down 0.5%, 2389, under 2400. And if I can just add silver as well, silver all down 2%, under $27 too. So real is a sell-off in the precious metals.
I would direct you to an interview that I conducted yesterday with Peter Major from Mergence, the head of mining there. And he's a person that goes down mines and comes up from mines and collates his information, and he imparts it very, very eloquently. So have a listen on strictlybusinesspodcast.com to Peter Major if you're serious about commodities, and you have to be if you're a South African. West Texas crude is down just over 1% to $62.80. Brent crude oil is $66.18, which is down just over 1% as well. Where's our friend Bitcoin today?
Where is our friend Bitcoin? Be getting absolutely smashed.
Slaughtered.
It is down, slaughtered. It's down 7.3%, $3,500 down at $44,400 gets you one coin. It's about the lowest it's been in about, put in perspective, this is the lowest level in 2 weeks.
And it was 58,000 on Monday or even Sunday night. Mm. But so from 58 to 44, so 14 divided by 58. I don't know the numbers, but these are massive, massive numbers in percentage
big swings,
terms.
Yeah,
it's a really big swing.
Yeah.
The US 10-year bond, which is another one that we look at, is 1.47%, was 1.51%. Yesterday, the price of money worldwide rose by just over 8%, but now it's become cheaper by nearly 3%, 1.47. But anyway, it's still doubled over 10 months. And I'm just looking at the CRB index, which is the commodity index, which is also one of our new pets. They're not doing so well today. It's still above 200. But anyway, let's have a look at the morning meeting from Sanlam Private Wealth. What happened this morning?
So all dominating about the bonds. In fact, it's the first time we had quite a nice, robust debate amongst all the members on the Zoom call around the country. So that was dominating. And then also a couple of earnings out. We spoke about Anheuser-Busch. I don't know if you spoke about it yesterday on your show. I don't know if people aren't drinking enough, but quite a disappointing set of numbers.
I'm trying.
I'm also trying to make up for it. So that was a little bit disappointing. And then there was also out, we had a couple of 1-9 items. Mondi was out yesterday as well. A house view, I thought they were excellent set of numbers and quite cheap at current levels. So Mondi continues to be a favorite of this group. And then also we had some line items. We had Blue Label Telecoms. They're out this morning with their earnings results, half year 2020.
Yeah, share price down 0.6% at the moment.
Yeah, it has almost doubled in the last few months. So one of these ones where buy the rumor, sell the news. You know, it was fairly baked into the price. And it wasn't too much detail on earnings. Wait for the earnings call later to get more out of it. And then we've also had – there's also some stuff out of – what are we else? Oh, Capitec. Capitec out – issue a preference share, which is quite interesting, shoring up their balance sheet. And we've got some private extension numbers due later out of SA, as well as City Lodge. I haven't seen their numbers come out yet, but they're due to report as well. And then offshore, the ones to watch for me, because it ties in with our inflation conversation, is that it's actually the Fed's most preferred gauge of inflation. It's called the PCE, which stands for Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. There's a mouthful. But that's quite a big number out later too, Michigan Conference as well. So it's not getting quieter as you wind down into Friday afternoon. And also we round down into worldwide. This is a financial year end as well, the end of Feb. So it's going to be a busy day again.
We've picked a couple of good themes between the two of us and also with David Shapiro over the last few months. We've picked the bonds. We've talked about the inflation story. There's been a couple of stocks. We talked about commodities. And the one thing that I think, you mentioned City Lodge. I think the one thing that we should look at now is beaten up leisure stocks this year. I mean, I know they've bounced back. But I do think they're going to continue because people, when they realize that they can fly to South Africa and when the local economy opens up again and people start to become more confident, I think that these hotels and these leisure groups are going to do extremely well. So that's going to be my extra theme for 2021. What do you think?
Yeah, I concur. You know, there is a lot. The only problem I've got from a hunting point of view, you know, the lost, say, night at, say, for example, a City Lodge, you're not going to go try and stay for 365 days to make up for your lost year.
No.
You know, so, and same goes for the, I think the hospitality industry, if you're talking about like restaurants and that. So you're not going to make that loss up. But saying that, I mean, everyone I know is saying as soon as we can travel again, as soon as they get vaccinated, as soon as we can, the borders up, they are definitely going to get on an airplane and fly outside the country and go for a well-deserved holiday and go celebrate the world returning to normal. So, yes, I agree. I think it's definitely a sector to watch. And the question mark is, though, is, you know, where do you get into, which spaces? Because the airplanes haven't started flying again. And when they do start flying, oil, unfortunately, is north of $60 a barrel. So it's not going to be cheap. But I agree. I mean, we could be heading into some very positive times when things do return to normal.
Maybe have a look at an overseas stock called Airbnb, because they came out with a statement in the last 24 hours saying that they're talking their book, but I mean, they come out and said that they see a massive boom.
They just recently listed, didn't they, Lindsay?
Yeah.
That's right. They just recently listed. They actually listed this year, I think.
So precisely.
Got a ballsy move in
the last 2 months. Yes, they did.
Yeah. But they're quite good indications. I saw... It's an amazing way you can look at data these days. I mean, data is like this new gold to try and get hold of data. Everyone's talking about data. I saw a number, believe it or not, of the largest sort of, you know, you go into office buildings, Lindsay, you swipe your card to get in. So it's like an access card to get into your building in the city of London or in Amsterdam, wherever you are.
Yeah.
So New York has got a company that basically, I guess, they put all the access cards into Manhattan, for example. So they can keep track of how many people swipe their card to get in, to give an indication that people are going back into the office. And it certainly looks like that's also ticking up, which is an encouraging sign. So they can say people are starting to, I mean, it's still like miles away from it was a year ago, pre-pandemic, but people are starting to go. And interesting enough, just on that same line of conversation, Lindsay, is David Solomon, the chairman of the CEO of Goldman Sachs. I saw an interview with him this morning on Bloomberg, and he used very strong language. He talked about people working from home, of course, bearing in mind this is Goldman Sachs talking, people working from home is an abomination, was his words he used. He
says, an abomination?
People have to come back into the office as soon as possible. That's according to Mr. Solomon from Goldman Sachs. I thought it was very interesting, because I've heard a lot of feedback the other side saying we'll never go back to normal. Where he's saying it, they can't function. They've got to get people. They've got to get their thinking caps. They've got to get intellectual capital back into Goldman Sachs' office on Broad Street.
Okay. Well, good luck to him. He's obviously got an ulterior motive, but which we no need to go into.
Oh, such a cynic.
In the moment, exactly. Anyway. I've got the top five major moves to the upside and the downside on my screen, which is 15 minutes delayed. And for the first time since we've been speaking, Nick Kunze, there's only two to the upside. Okay.
Goodness me.
Kumba Iron Ore is up 1%, and PSG Consultants are up 0.11%. There are no other movers to the upside on this particular website that tracks these things. On the downside, though, very enthusiastic. Bytes down 5.75%. Textainer down 4%. Hammerson down 3.5%. DRD Gold down 3.5%. And Impala Platinum down 3.3%. Nothing's going up. It's a horrible morning.
There's very few pockets of strength I've got on my overpriced machine. I've got Aspen a little bit in the green at 0.39% up, and you're right, PSG Consult and also Hoskin Consolidated, but they're small caps up a little bit. But you're right, generally a very negative tone, and quite surprising being this is month end and this is financial year end too. So you normally expect a little bit of a squeeze to market your books going into year end, but it doesn't appear to be happening. It's a very... Let's just leave it by saying it's quite a risk-off Friday to the end of Feb.
I think we might have a frisky 5 o'clock shadow later on. Maybe I'll bring someone else in to spice it up even more than we don't need spicing, but we'll find someone potentially. But anyway, the point is that it's a very negative tone at the moment. Give us the JSE indices after exactly one hour of trading, please.
I will do enough. I just want to add one other indicator in, as we always like these indicators. The VIX, yes, so the volatility index, was up 38% yesterday, the biggest one-day spike in the last, I guess, about seven, eight months.
You see, that's what's happening.
Which is the cost, which is your cost of buying down. So puts, we've spoken about on the show. So just bear that in mind too. It's another one to watch. On this last trading day of Feb, so far this morning, we have had the JSE All Share. I mean, this doesn't, when I read you the number, it doesn't sound as bad as it looks. I mean, 66,146 is the level, but it is having a tough Friday, down 1.98%, 1,300 points down. Top 40 tradable, that is also down 2%. Also, quadruple digits, 1,324 points down, 60,744. And individual indices, as you pointed out, there is nothing up in the green, unfortunately. We are led sharply lower by healthcare, down 10 pips, industrials down 1.25%, technology continuing their recent sell-off, that index down 1.66%. Financials, despite the Rand trying to bounce back, 1.77% lower, and basic materials leading us lower the most, down 2%.
Okay, and the S&P futures are down 0.3% at the moment at 38.17, having been, what, close to 39.50 in the last week or so. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth. He'll be back with me on the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.